Beginning in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is the rain report for March 19, 2004. I'm Angelo Polveri, KA9CSO. The FCC has essentially mandated that the U.S. Amateur Radio Service restructure its licensing and testing program. Dozens of proposals have been floated with the commission. Perhaps the most balanced of these was prepared by the National Conference of Volunteer Examiner Coordinators, NCVEC. Former publisher of the W5YI report, Fred Maya, W5YI, is chair of the NCVEC Rules Committee. Hap Hawley spoke with Fred about the proposal.
The National Conference of VECs is the umbrella organization to which all of the 14 VEC organizations belong, including the ARRL VEC, the W5YI VEC, and on and on and on. There's 14 separate organizations that are authorized by the FCC to conduct testing in the amateur service. The proposal that we filed on March 1st actually has its roots going back to last July when we had our annual conference in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, which was attended by the VECs plus the FCC from Gettysburg and from Washington, D.C. At that time, the VECs voted to make two proposals. One was an immediate proposal to end all Morse code testing in the amateur service. Not to end Morse code, but just Morse code testing. If people wanted to transmit and learn and use Morse code, they could and should. But we didn't feel it was necessary to demonstrate proficiency in the Morse code. That petition was filed immediately after the conference and the FCC acknowledged receipt of that last August. The second part of what the VECs agreed to at their July conference was that we would propose a new entry-level license and that we would file that after all the VECs had a chance to chew on it and review it and vote for it. Our Constitution requires that the majority of all VECs vote yes on any proposal that we make. There were 14 VEC organizations, and 8 voted for it, 4 voted against it, and 2 abstained. The abstentions were the American Radio Relay League, since they already had their proposal before the commission, and the other one was the KVEC, which is an Alabama VEC. We started working on the actual wording of the petition last fall, and we had it pretty much completed by year end, and then we started the process of getting the different VECs to agree to it and give us their input and so forth. At our July conference, we appointed a drafting committee. I was on that committee, so was Johnny Johnston from Laurel, Scotty Neustadler from KVEC, and the majority of the work was authored by Jim Wiley of the Anchorage VEC. The petition was completed at year end. In January and February, it was circulated to the VECs for a vote, and in mid-February, the final wording was proposed, and it was filed at the end of February. The petition itself is not unlike that of the American Radio Relay League. There are some important differences, though. We propose the same bans as the ARRL did, except we provide for more voice spectrum than does the league, and we also give more importance to the 15-meter and 10-meter ban for newcomers. We ask that the new entry-level license be called the Communicator Class License. It authorizes operation on 4 bands plus all VHF, UHF frequencies between 6 meters and 450, 70 centimeters. The ARRL also chose those 4 bands, but we offered additional voice frequencies for the different classes than what the league did. The league refarmed, that's their word for redistributed, the novice Tech Plus frequencies, which would no longer be used, to the general and extra class, and we did also. Again, we have more voice frequencies and less CW frequencies than does the American Radio Relay League. An important provision in both the American Radio Relay League proposal and the proposal by the National Conference of VECs is that all novice operators would become communicator operators as of the effective date. All tech and tech plus would become general. All advanced would become extra. And we would end up with three classes: communicator, the entry level, general, and amateur extra class. This feature proved to be very controversial among the VECs. The VECs are in the testing business. It amounted to some 60% of all amateurs being upgraded without testing. Not every VEC and not all the VEs were in favor of this. Some of the things we heard was, if testing and learning this information is important, well, then they should be tested. And to grant an automatic upgrade, well, some did not want it. But the fact of the matter is, it is impossible to redistribute novice and technician frequencies, the general and extra class, and to expand their voice privileges without discontinuing the novice and technician and tech plus classes and those frequencies. So the automatic upgrade proved to be the only way that it could be done. The NCVEC and the American Radio Relay League proposed the same transmitter power levels, 100 watts below 24 megahertz, 50 watts above. The main difference, though, is that the National Conference of VECs asked that only low power be provided to the final transmitter as a safety measure. Also, they asked that only commercially manufactured kits be used at the communicator class level. This is because the examination will only have 20 questions from a very minimum question pool, and we didn't feel that it would be a good idea to authorize high power and high power levels, which have proved to cause an RF health hazard. And we didn't feel that we could measure the capability of a newcomer to make his own transmitter. So the communicator class is a little bit different as far as the transmitting arrangements go than the ARRL proposal.
You're listening to Fred Maya, W5YI, Chair of the Rules Committee of the NCVEC, the National Conference of Volunteer Examiner Coordinators. We'll learn more about the NCVEC's petition for restructuring the U.S. Amateur Radio Service in a moment. This is the RAIN Report.
You're listening to the RAIN Report from www.rainreport.com.
The ARRL filed their petition in January. We had ours ready, but we couldn't get it approved in time, so it took about an extra 30 days for us to get the petition approved by the majority of the VECs. The FCC received the petition on March 1st, and they acknowledged receipt via a certified return mail form on March 4th.
I like the idea that you actually have named the entry-level license as the communicator. That was a previous proposed class some years ago, wasn't it?
That is true. The ARRL asked that their new entry level be called the novice class or some other name to be determined. The VECs did not feel that the name of the class should be any class that had been in existence before. The reason being is, having held a different class of license in the past, in many cases grants the examinee credit towards a future exam. We've had four different versions of the technician license. We had a technician before 1987, which included what is now elements 2 and 3, technician and general plus code. It was eventually separated, and in 1991 it became no code. So we've got different versions of the technician class license. The examination credit conferred depends on when you held it. This proved to be very difficult for the VEs because many applicants taking a test didn't have an old license, and the FCC didn't have any records, so we knew exactly what examination credit to confer. We decided that we would name it something else, and that way there'd be no confusion between a new entry level and what was the novice class before HEP.
Do I understand correctly your proposal proposes no toad even for the extra, whereas the ARRL proposal and others propose a 5-word-per-minute toad test for the extra?
That is correct, but that's not new news. Last August, actually we filed it in July, but the FCC acknowledged it in August. Rulemaking number 10787, which the VEX proposed back last summer, asked that amateur radio testing not include element one, that there was no need to test a person on Morse code. If he wanted to learn it, he would. If he didn't, he wouldn't, and that it was no longer necessary. The petition that was just filed continues on that same vein, but it makes no changes over the petition that was filed last summer by the VEX HEP.
Why do you suppose the League still wants 5 words per minute?
Well, the reason why the American Radio Relay League wants Morse code is their members, and remember that their members are predominantly long-term, higher-class radio amateurs, advanced and extra primarily, practically all of which have passed code examinations, many of which have passed 20 words a minute, which I did myself. The feeling is if I had to do it, well, you should too. The American Radio Relay League is only continuing what many of the members want. It's not the league or the league directors who want that. It's the existing members who want that. There is not much spectrum authorized to a entry-level communicator at the 80 and 40-meter level for voice. You're talking 50 kilohertz at 80, and you're talking 50 kilohertz at 40. There's 100 kilohertz at 15 meters. On the other hand, and this is a wide departure from the American Radio Relay League, who only provide 200 kilohertz, the National Conference of VECs is suggesting 900 kilohertz of 10-meter spectrum for newcomers. So basically, we see the entry level being a 10-meter license with privileges at 80, 40, and 15, plus all of the frequencies and modes and privileges at the VHF and UHF level.
Interesting to note that you omitted 20 meters, and that's probably a good incentive for those who want to work more DX more often, especially where we are in the sunspot cycle.
Well, one of the proposals that we entertained was to have 20 meters for entry level. The Radio Society of Great Britain championed their foundation license, and that is a 10-watt license for all bands 160 up with 10 watts, including 20 meters. It has been unbelievably successful. There was a no-code provision. In other words, you don't have to learn code to become a foundation-class British licensee. It's been outrageously successful, but the VEX did not feel that 20 meters should be added because that is the plumb of the HF band, and it's the band that most long-term amateurs look forward to, and the feeling was it shouldn't be cluttered up with newcomers. So 20 meters is not included, but most of the HF bands are.
20 meters can be a rough-and-tumble band.
It certainly can be.
As we conduct this interview on March 16th, there is no RM number, correct?
No. Neither the League nor the National Conference of VEC's proposals have been formally accepted and put out for initial comment. When they are put out for initial comment, there will be a 30-day period during which time the amateur community will be able to tell the FCC whether they should go forward with those proposals or not. If the answer is yes, then it goes to the notice of proposed rulemaking stage and comments, and it's a long process. We don't expect we're going to see a new entry-level class be effective any time before 2006.
I've been speaking today with Fred Maya, W5YI, the chair of the Rules Committee for the National Conference of Volunteer Examiner Coordinators, NCVEC. You can find the text of the NCVEC proposal on rainreport.com. For the Rain Report, I'm Hap Holly, KCNRP, in Chicago.
The Rain Report is copyright 2004 Rain. All rights reserved. I'm Angelo Polveri, KA9 CSO.